Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence and ESE Insight calling. It's time to shine a little Eurovision light over the world. Coming up, yes, you can go to Warsaw. We're thinking about COVID-19 and marriage is in the air. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome to ESE Insight's Insight News Podcast. I'm Ewan Spence, and with the help of the whole of the team from ESEinsight.com, let's bring you up to speed with the news from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest and the Junior Eurovision Song Contest for the last week or so. It's all in the podcast, and of course we go into more depth. We have more insight at ESEinsight.com. You can support us at patreon.com/ESEinsight. You find the podcast in all the usual places. If you're listening on the web, then go find us in your Spotify's, your iTunes, Google Plays, leave a review, star rating, all of that, all very much appreciated. Right, preamble out of the way, we'll hit the jingle and get on with the news. Okay, as always, we still have the same dates in our diary. Semi-final 1 on Tuesday, the 18th of May, 2021. Semi-final 2 on the Thursday and the grand final on the Saturday. That's not going to change. Well, it might change because it's all about sort of staying agile at the moment, looking at new ideas and considering everything. There's a new executive supervisor for all the Eurovision events, Martin Osterdahl, and he's popped up on the official YouTube channel this month to introduce himself, note his experience at running as the executive producer for the 2013 and 2016 contest. It's both of the Swedish ones. And he's coming to the Eurovision Song Contest. He likes the idea of narrative and storytelling and to develop those over the next few years. Build up the vision and values of Eurovision, grow the brand. There's untapped potential to reach new audiences, especially young audiences. And the concept of Eurovision is something that is appreciated outside of Europe. So there's a space for the new audience as well. And he's also been talking about the backup and alternate plans for Rotterdam 2021. It's very much a hello, everybody in the community. You're in safe hands. And it's up on youtube.com/Eurovision. Before we get to the adult contest in May, there is a small matter of Junior Eurovision this November. And again, we still have the same date in our diary. Grand final for Junior Eurovisions, no semi-finals, straight to the main show on Sunday, the 29th of November. Now, last month, Junior Eurovision, the EBU and Polish broadcaster TVP, who's the co-producer, announced details of what was happening in terms of the impact of COVID-19. And it was that all the performers would have a replica stage at their home broadcaster, so they wouldn't have to fly into Poland, and they would beam their performances in. And everybody would have the same stage set up and tech specs and such like. Well, there's been a slight change in that because things change and you have to be agile as you're going through any sort of live broadcast, especially the complicated ones in the time of a pandemic. TVP has announced that the number of unspecified delegations are going to be travelled to the Warsaw TV studios to record their entry. The main reason cited here is budgetary constraints. Not every broadcaster has resources to spare to build the same stage, and it is quite a highly specced stage, it has to be said. Thanks to the tender put out by Spanish broadcaster RTVE, we have an idea of what is actually being needed on that stage. I can just roll down here and I've picked them up here. Yep, there we are. A curved LED screen, 4.5 meters by 13.6 meters, a floor LED of 2.9 meters by 5.5 meters, and a spherical 1 meter LED as well. Make that what you will. I'm guessing spherical LED is going to be to replicate the logo. Anyway, not everybody can afford it. Not everybody can afford to build that in their home studio for 3 minutes of broadcast television. So a number of the delegations will now be going to Warsaw. We're waiting here on the final details on this one, and you know, it's not really something that needs to be made public. It's all about getting the TV show ready to go in place. But delegations will be going. They're going to be on a similar footing because they're going to have similar stages. Presumably, the sort of competitive element, they'll be told, this is the live take. This is the one that's going on to the show. So you've got one shot at it as you would if you were doing it in the traditional way of everybody in the same hall at the same time. The main thing is there's going to be a Junior Eurovision show. Lots of lessons will be learned, and they'll be carried forward to the Eurovision Song Contest. And no doubt, because if it's the EBU, it'll be passed over to all their other members as well for other large-scale events. As well as announcing the slight tweaks to how the staging will happen, we also have our three hosts for Junior Eurovision. First up, returning from hosting duties last year's, is Ida Nowakowska Herndon. Joining her will be Polish national final singer Rafał Brzozowski, who finished second to Kasia Moss in 2017, and host of The Voice Poland Małgorzata Tomaszewska. Full details on all of those, their bios and everything, juniorvision.tv. Right, what about the songs and the entries? Let's run down those now. Okay, it's 13 entries into Junior Eurovision, still at that number. In rough alphabetical order, Belarus have confirmed their internal selection of Arnina Peretheva with her song Aliens. The Netherlands had a national final and it took place in the Ahoy Theatre, where Adult Eurovision will be happening in May. So again, another nice run through and practice and learning experiences. Junior Song Festival, which is the name of the show, did see some last minute changes. Two performers were tested positive for COVID-19 ahead of the live show. Solo singer Robin had to withdraw completely, while Demi, who was one of the members of girl group Unity, stood down for the show. Unity sang as a three-piece and actually won through, so they will be going to Junior Eurovision, and Demi will be joining them to take them back up to a quartet. All is not lost for Robin, as Avril Tross have confirmed that she will be reading out the votes and the scores from the Dutch public and jury come the event at the end of November. And with Robin withdrawing, that means three ran. National final also in Kazakhstan, and it was an incredibly tight result there. Korat Bashanova will be singing for her country at Junior Eurovision 2020. Her song Forever took 25.9% of the vote. Second place was 25.7% of the vote. Narrow victory there. 12 ran. Over in Malta, we had another national final win, this time for Chanel Monsieur. She'll be taking Chasing Sunsets to the Junior Eurovision stage. 12 ran there. Poland, topping both the jury ranking and the public ranking, saw victory for the song I'll Be Standing by Alicia Trans. Just like last year's winners, Vicky Gabor, Tats will be singing on home soil. Smaller national final there. Just three ran. And Russia finishing off the competitive results here. Sofia Feskova will be singing My New Day for Russia following her win. And there, 11 ran. So a couple of 1 or 2 points to pick up from Junior Eurovision. There's been a revamp on the German song. Broadcaster Kika has released that Stronger With You, which will be sung by Susan. It's going to be Germany's first song at Junior Eurovision, and that's available on the official YouTube channel. Similar with Spanish broadcaster RTVE's channel, Soleil's song for Poland has been released as well. There's a teaser clip at the start of the week, and then the full song is now available. And we also have a revamp of Alexander's song Vidkriva, which is going to be the entry for Ukraine. Right, to the adults. Okay, where are we up to in terms of the entries? Russia's Channel 1 has confirmed publicly it will be entering Eurovision 2021. Bosnia-Herzegovina's BHRT has confirmed that once more it will not be entering Eurovision, citing budgetary problems again with the broadcaster. And it's also worth noting that Montenegrin musicians are calling for their broadcaster to return to Eurovision to help promote Montenegrin music to the wider European and worldwide audience. We'll see what happens with that one in the future. But again, I suspect budget is going to be a big issue. It always is for these smaller broadcasters. Eurovision is a large expense out of their annual programming budget. And that's before you have the impact of the finances in the world of the coronavirus pandemic. So it's not always going to be an easy thing to justify. Last Insight News podcast, we were at 32 entries. We're now up to 37, but those are confirmed publicly for Rotterdam. You don't have to make a public declaration once you send your form. And so it's more likely that there are a couple of other broadcasters who just simply haven't stood up in public and said, yep, we're doing it, looking at you, BBC. But there are also broadcasters which we're pretty sure are going to be there, looking at you, BBC. So we'll keep you up to pace with that. But it looks like we're certainly going to be at 40 and probably one or two over on that one as well. Okay, country news, nice. First up, let's do some happy news first of all. Congratulations are in order for some of the big Eurovision names, as we've had three engagements in the community over the last week or so. Belarus's 2020 artist Val have taken a break from protesting in Belarus to get engaged in Montenegro. The Netherlands' Duncan Lawrence, who of course won in 2019, bringing the contest back to his home country, is now engaged to Jordan Garfield. And Sweden Melody Festival and Stalwart Mariette is engaged to Isabel Gronquist. Congratulations to you all. Staying with Belarus, Val have confirmed that they will not be signed by broadcaster BTRC to represent their country at Eurovision 2021, with Val stating that relations with the state broadcaster have broken down. Croatia, local media reports of Dora, their song contest, which they use to select their Eurovision entry, will be taking place on February the 13th. Damir Kedzo, who won through Dora last year, hasn't been given an automatic you're getting to go back to Eurovision, but he's hinted strongly on social media that he has a song ready for Dora 2021, so he's going to give it another go. We think. Cyprus, as discussed in our previous pod, a lot of singers are suggesting that they would sing for Cyprus at Eurovision 2021, presumably to keep their names high in PR and the public forefront. One name looks to have ruled herself out, and that's fan favourite Eleni Ferreira. She sang Fuego for Cyprus in 2018. She's not ruling out coming up for another year, but 2021 is not on the cards. Over in Germany, making it through the early selection process was Armenia's Iveta Munshayan, but she's not going to go any further. German broadcaster NDR have said that there was a mistake with the selection process as they were looking for an artist who had not sung at Eurovision for another country previously. So she will move no further in the process. Iveta previously performed for Armenia at Eurovision 2016, notably flying the flag of Nagorno-Karabakh on screen in the green room, breaking the no politics at Eurovision rule. Greece, we expected four songs to be recorded by Stefania for her 2021 entry, but reports are that five songs have been recorded and are going forward for the selection process. We don't yet know whether that's going to be televised and voted on the public, an online vote, or just a purely internal selection. It is only October and you don't need to firm up your entry till about mid-March, so there is a bit of time. Israel, we're going to hear some songs soon. Yay! All the tracks submitted for Eden Alen to take to Eurovision in 2021, 16, are going to be released online at some point in November. That's going to be for an online voting, which will choose four of the 16 songs. Another four are going to be picked by a jury, and these eight will go through to a televised selection process, likely in February. Moving on the list, Slovenia, returning from the 2020 roster, Hiana Soklik has been confirmed by RTV SLO. So that's an internal selection going on there. So the traditional national selection will not take place. With 191 songs submitted for consideration by Soklik and her team, much like Greece, we could see a one-singer multi-song format, we could see an online selection, or we could simply see the delegation and Anna going, it's that one. And we have our song for Slovenia. Finishing up here with Sweden, we have the traditional 6 dates for Melody Festivalen, starting on February the 6th, and then every Saturday for 6 weeks after that. So 4 semi-finals, the second chance round on March the 6th, and the grand final on Saturday, March the 13th. Given previous years, that would suggest to us that the deadline for submitting your song to the EBU will be Monday the 15th. Of March as well. Now, it is worth noting that there are some changes to Melody Festival this year compared to previous years. Since it got, you know, basically Melody Festival tends to go all the way around Sweden, doing a different concert hall and venue every week. The big grand tour of Swedish music. That's not going to happen this year for pretty obvious reasons. All 6 shows are going to take place in Stockholm. There's 4 months to go to work out the exact location, what kind of audience format can be used, the logistics involved on that. As of recording, the Swedish government has banned large public gatherings and events with more than 50 people, so much like Eurovision, there's going to be a number of plans that are balanced out. But we do have some details, and that is, it's all going to be in Stockholm. Also, just worth noting this one, exec producer Anna Hellenius has noted that the format of Melfest as a whole is going to change in 2022. No more details right now, just a lot of Melfest fans going, "Are you changing our show?" Right then, what have we had up on ESC Insight in the last week? Well, following on from the issues on Junior Song Festival and 2 artists having to withdraw, ESC Insight's Ben Robertson has taken a look at some ideas on what might happen if a Eurovision artist receives a positive test for COVID-19 while we're in Rotterdam in the run-up to the contest in May. That builds up on the article that I posted just before that on when things go wrong, talking about backup plans and alternate options for a live broadcast of the Eurovision Song Contest. They're up at our website, ESCInsight.com, and also flag up 2 podcasts as well that we've had. Digital Quartet was released last week, our documentary from Finn Ross Russell looking at the impact of coronavirus pandemic on the online community of the Eurovision Song Contest. And we have another Castaways episode. Matt Baker has joined Ellie Chalkley on the Ile de Besançon. He's got 8 records. Can he get them past Ellie on the customs desk to take them onto the island? What else? You can always hear us on the podcast radio, podcastradio.co.uk, where you'll hear us over the weekends, both with the Insight News podcast. You might be listening on there now. And our documentaries and Dukebox stories are going out on Saturday evenings as well. Europe'sHeartbeat.com for a weekly look at the new music around Europe, hosted by myself. And if you want more Eurovision to listen to, this week's pick is 12 Points from America.
Hello, ESC Insight listeners.
We are 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America.
You know, the one from the news.
I'm Eric.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Danny.
And we are 4 friends united by a love of trivia. In the 12-10-8 era, so since 1975, the least dominant winner is still running scared.
Oof.
Tom Foolery.
I put my rhythm inside and now it's safe from bears.
And of course, Eurovision.
We release a new show every week or so, and we are always going to bring you the latest news and insight. Can we say that? Are we going to get sued?
It's not trademarked.
Give us a listen at your favorite podcast dispensary. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at 12 Points USA. That's 12 Points USA. Or at 12pointsfromamerica.com.
So, if you like podcasts, and if you're hearing this, let's face it, you like podcasts, check out 12 Points from America and,
start listening now!
I'm not sure whether you can say insight either. Anyway, 12 Points from America there with some familiar voices from the Insight stable. Okay, get your diaries out there. Saturday, October the 17th, 8 p.m. UK, 9 p.m. Central, is going to be Eurovision again. As always, the year will be announced 15 minutes before the show starts, and we'll have a companion podcast looking at the rules, the charts, interviews, backstage news, and the national final songs that never made it ready to go as well. So keep listening out for that one. Other other than that, it's a relatively quiet week or so in the Eurovision world. We are expecting an announcement from France for the Junior Eurovision entries. Georgia's Junior National Final selection process continues. We're watching out for news from Armenia. So we'll bring you up to speed with all of that and everything else that happens on our next Insight News podcast. It's great to have your company. As always, you can find out more at escinsight.com and facebook.com/insight and twitter.com/ and all of that. patreon.com/escinsight if you want to support us through the season to create more great content. And other than that, as always, keep washing your hands, stay safe, be kind to each other. Ta-ra for now. Cue the guitars. ESC Insight News podcast this week was hosted by Ewan Spence, written by Ewan Spence and the ESC Insight team, escinsight.com.